Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
team of voices sharing open poetry with Liquid Damage. That's me. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. Thank you very much, A.P. Everybody thank A.P. for sponsoring us. Thanks, A.P. Anyway, our group is filled with love and respect. We are also happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe and offer a variety of programming for your entertainment. We can offer an open microphone so you can share your voice with us. There's something different going on every single night of the week. You never know what you might have, what we might have up our sleeves. And you are all invited to join us for the fun. So tonight we're going to have a great show, a lot of good poetry, a lot of fun people. And we have tonight so far AP, and Dave Prophet and Carmine, and we're waiting for some more people to get on before we start reading poetry, but we do have a bunch of SoundClouds, which we can listen to and comment on until that time. So I just want to say thank you to Dave. I've been hounding him for months to come on my show, and he finally appeared tonight. Thank you so much, David. I don't have to bug you anymore.
You can bug me all you want.
Ah, that's sweet.
I missed the last two shows on the Team of Voices, and I just couldn't miss this one. I do have some company coming at 8 o'clock, so if I could read a little early, then I can, you know, one thing I'm on the phone, then I can hang up and
sure.
read. So, okay.
You want to read now, or you want to wait a little bit?
Oh, I can read right now. It don't matter.
Okay.
It's up to you. You're the host.
If AP would grab your poem.
I've got the link here. You want me to put it on the board?
Yeah.
I think we have the link.
Huh?
Bear with me. Yes, bear with me, Doc.
Yeah. Should be up.
Yep.
Can you see it?
Yeah. 2 6.
Okay. I wrote this poem for one of Deb's.
You beat me.
Huh?
You beat me. It's up there now. We've done it twice.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Okay, I'm not seeing it.
Anyway.
No, wait a minute.
Huh? Well, I missed
it. I'm not seeing it.
Just refresh the screen.
Oh, okay. Oh, I found the refresh button. Thank you.
Oh, that's good.
I still don't see it. Ah, I see your biscuits.
Well, that's a good start. Stay with there for a few minutes. Hit refresh once more. It's just they've just come on the board. Linda, two of them.
Let me try. This refresh, let's see if that's any different. I don't know. No,
well,
but go ahead, David.
Okay. Well, I wrote this earlier. Okay. Well, I wrote this for one of Deb's Picture Prompt Mondays, and I missed the show, and I never got to read it, and I wanted to really bad. So I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and put it on your show tonight. It's been probably a couple months since I wrote this. Let's see, when did I write it? Oh, January. So, yeah. Okay. It's called High Desert Hypnosis, and it sounds like this. On a road less traveled, winding in a high desert plateau, paved in red volcanic gravel, shotgunned onto a cinnamon no-show of any visitor in the past 50 years, rusty chain barrier still blocks the way, trades all my fears for tears, forgotten homestead sagebrush bouquet. I can hear the whispers now. It's easy if you quiet your mind. Spirits beseech us, doth to a vow, seeks our audience to the show so much maligned. The old house with its twin gable ends, punched alongside into the hip, sun bleached that constantly amends, still whole, the low humidity will strip all moisture that rots and decays, all the other outbuildings that just look this way. Floors sometimes covered in gold dust, a phantom in the twilight's gathering gloom makes its presence known to my dog and I. Still all there, this of a family heirloom, such ancient perfection puts a tear in my eye. 1937 Chevrolet two-door business coupe sits where it last ran in the front yard. These cars are unknown to the current age group. VIN paint code says Swan Gray, a bit scarred. GM's 218 paint color embossed on its VIN plate underneath a winged ancient hood lives on despite the elements constant ablate. It cried out and creaks when I raised its enigma from the memories of my childhood. I put my hand on its grill shell, warm in the afternoon sun, tingling as it casts a spell, its blistered chromium a mite undone. It spoke to me in gunmetal patina, those tinted words beseeching me inside this high-altitude arena to remove it from this dead sea. Lavender essence of gunpowder and cotton candy, David, ye shall restore this old Chevrolet. It spoke, this must be my goddess Verthandi, Please take me away with you this very day. The dark mother wishes this of me, for I am not the man to refuse her. I found myself in my shop just to see the old Chevrolet inside, swirling myrrh of gunpowder and cotton candy. Whispers from the universe saying, thank you, my love. End poem.
Aww. That was beautiful. Wow, David,
okay.
This is just beautifully written. And your description of the house and truck are so spot on to the picture. It's truly amazing. Also, your rhyme scheme is unusual but clever, and your imagery casts a bright light throughout the lines of this poem. I really love how you brought in Verfandi to guide you. Very cool. I love that verse. Where is it? Lavender essence of gunpowder and cotton candy. David, you shall restore this old Chevrolet. It spoke, this must be my goddess for Thandai. Please take me with you this very day. I love that. And of course, the ending is quite lovely. You have done well, David. Thank you for sharing tonight. I hope you will come back sometime soon. This was well done. I'm glad you got a chance to read it on my show.
Just one thing about this. The background picture, if you can see it, is a real ghost town in Oregon, and the name of it's Whitney. And I also wrote another poem about this particular ghost town. It's called The Witch in Whitney, and it's on my front page if you want to read it. I'm telling you, I have never taken a trip back in time like I did when I visited this town. I rode over to it on my motorcycle, and I walked the full length of it. It's about the town sits on both sides of this gravel road, and the gravel road's about quarter of a mile long, I guess. And these buildings that you see in the background sit off the side of the road there. I wanted to go in and look at one of those buildings, but at the same time, they had fencing around it, and I wanted to honor their privacy and their ownership of that, and so I didn't do that. But the curiosity was really, really getting to me. So I just thought I'd throw that in for
Whatever. Yeah, me and my grandma used to go into the ghost towns in Idaho and look around under the floorboards, and the outhouse is where you find the money, old money. You dig down where the outhouse was, and you find old coins that have slipped through the floorboards. But, a lot of fun. Let's get you some more comments on that. AP.
Yeah, I really love the Chev, Dave. I like the description of where it was sitting. I liked the VIN paint code, that it was swan grey. I liked the detail that was 218 paint. The details that you had of that vehicle sort of showed a connection and love for it before we even knew that, you know, you were going to take away and restore it. So, just really, really liked that sense of knowledge and love of the car.
Well, thanks, AP. Appreciate it.
Great comment.
It was fun writing it.
Yeah, good comment, AP. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, let me tell you something. Mr. David, we can all profit from your poetry. It's very powerful. I mean, you had a picture of the past there with strong memories and among the ruins of a ghost town, probably because of commercial circumstances. But the one thing that really got me was the remnants of a car, the one that you loved, the 1937 Chevy. And how it spoke to you to be taken away from the, you know, the grave of the cave that surrounded the car, and because of your love for the automobile, you took it. I really loved it. I loved the imagery. I loved the town. I loved the houses, the walls, especially the desert plateau, which you expressed. And I really see in your writing word painting, which is a wonderful gift. Of course, when you displayed that it was 50 years hence, and everything had been wasted away, maybe the town, maybe the dust, et cetera, et cetera, but not the love for that automobile. And so it still is part of you because you took it away and you restored it. And I do express my congratulations to you, David. You are part of the poet family, and you are a very impressive writer.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Carmine. I really appreciate that. It's hard not to be part of this nice family that we all belong to. And I've learned so much about writing and stuff from working, you know, with the likes of Linda and everybody, on the shows. And it's just been a real experience for me. I've been writing a long time, but I've just now, you know, in the past 8 or 10 years that I've been on All Poetry, I guess about 8 years, I think it is, or six. Deb and I were just talking about this the other day, and her and I have been on All Poetry about the same amount of time. I think she was here a little bit before me, and I've learned so much, by being in her group and in some other ones too. It's a great place to be if you like poetry and you want to improve upon what you're doing, or if you just want to hang out. You know, there's great people here, and it's not like a social media place like Facebook where there's, you know, naysayers on there and all that, you know, and a lot of negativity. It doesn't seem to exist on All Poetry, and so I really enjoy this site and everybody that's on it. Linda's one of my favorite people too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of love and respect going on here, and I mm-hmm. as well am very, very at ease with this group. It makes me feel comfortable. So
yeah.
So anyway, how do you stop a bull from charging?
How do you stop a what?
How do you stop a bull from charging?
Oh, we don't know.
I don't know.
You cancel his credit cards. Come on, give me some love. That's a funny one. What do you call a dinosaur who crashes his car?
Did what?
He crashes his car.
What do you call a dinosaur who crashes his car?
That's a good one. I don't know.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Okay. Yeah.
You got one for us, Carmine?
Yes, I'll tell you what. This guy came to my house this morning and he asked for a contribution for a local pool. So I gave him a glass of water.
Very funny. You're cute, Carmine.
Don't make me laugh.
Very good. Very good. Right on. Okay, I guess we should get back to biz here. Why don't we do a SoundCloud from Frank? If you could pull his link up, AP, that would be lovely.
Yep, sure.
Where is... Here we go. Just give me one tick. I should say hello to Jenny as well, who's on the board. It's up there now, Linda.
Yes, I see it. I see it. Let me get back over to the studio. Come on. There we go. And here we go.
The sweet silence of the day has been interrupted suddenly by the penetrating perturbation of roaring raindrops of a tempest looming over the sleeping selves of the creepy crawlers lurking beyond the old abandoned road of the Centurio Cemetery ahead. The seducing sounds of the solitary silhouettes resonate, an old rich echo of the curious carts hiding in a shade of darkness, when the nocturnal creatures of the spooky sanctuary watch, with the crimson film of the beady eyes of throbbing terror. The wailing winds of the cemetery reach the windows of townsfolk, waiting for the haunting call to abate with the raging rain, as the clustered children hide under the beds with sheer fright, and the swaying shutters flap back and forth with all force. Scratching paws and horrible hissing of the emergent evil, glowing eyes of a menacing moonlight hovers high above, like a blissful light reflected from the burning brimstone, for the collisionist carts are aware of your susceptibility. Death is a blind mystery that only a few will resolve its enigma, and barriers a secret that remains hidden within the episodes of life, where the strangest beings of all thus reside beside us forever, with the strangest occurrences that torment our fragile minds. Can you hear the cops?
Great job, Frank. You have once again brought my mind to
the cops.
Oh, he's not done.
That's gracious.
End of poem.
Great. Frank, you once again have brought my mind to a fearsome level of scaredom. This one kept me almost doomed for the next word. You are the master of macabre, the deputy of doom, and the phantom of freakiness. Gotta love you, Frank, and I so appreciate the depth you go to make your productions awesome and scary. Thank you, Frank. You're totally awesome. And let me get you some more comments. Carmine.
Well, it sure is. I mean, sure, it's a full array or a full, should I say, presentation of darkness. But his words are flowing, and I mean, I love it. And you know, these seducing sounds that he has puts the caller into what he's saying. It's creepy, it's haunting, but he's got an excellent imagination. And like I said, these weird sounds, that's why he's called, you know, that's why he's a master at that. And you got to give him credit for it, because he does with excellence. So, bravo, my dear.
Right.
Bravo.
Good comment, Carmine. David.
Well, this has got Frank tattooed all over it. those of us who know him as well as we do can appreciate his abilities in writing and casting a poem this way. He goes through a lot of work setting the poem up so you visualize it. And I really appreciate that when a writer does that. It helps pull you into the poem. And Frank's really good at that. And he knows how to, position words and adjectives metaphors to where they are effective with each other. And, he's always been able to do this. And I always look forward to listening to him read his stuff. He reads as well as he writes, and very theatrical, and I appreciate that. And this is a great poem, one of the best that I've heard him do.
Right on. Thank you, David. NAP, what did you think?
I've listened a lot to Frank over the years, Linda, and that's the best I've heard him alter his voice. And I know he's a voice actor, and so that's important to him, but he actually sounded completely different, and that's not easy to do. And so it was a great poem, but I really enjoyed how he performed the poem and how he used his voice to actually come across very differently from all the ones I've listened to before, actually.
Thank you, AP. Yeah, Frank's the bomb, let me tell you. So, let's see. I hear Jenny's in the chat board, so why don't we play her poem just after I welcome in. Let me see. Francine! My Franny's here. Hi, Franny.
I'm here. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. I'm glad you came. We were just about getting ready to listen to Jenny's SoundCloud. I hear she did a collab
wonderful.
With Kiwi.
Yeah. Okay.
So if AP could pull that
I
up.
I see AP Wee, but I don't see am I in the right spot,
got,
you know, me and this.
I've got Jenny's.
Oh, Jenny, I got it. I got it. A new list? Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay. Pull that up. And I will start the SoundCloud.
Indentured isolation is causing me frustration. Serving society so secluded, same state. Rebirth, rolling ready to rise, run with resignation. Piteous a penitence proper, planning repentance.
From the opera balcony, we contemplate what it would be like to reincarnate. Reborn as your worst nightmare and enemy. Struck down by lightning repeatedly. Stuck in the same and not in this place.
In a similar day, as is the way when one's in a haze. World I'd known, done. Devious disparities do. days I gave became the way I was made for made. Look around deep blue, I do so true to you.
Though I always knew was probably being used, my walls I still let you tear down. Letting you in was my biggest mistake, as your malicious manipulations mound.
Diplomatically defiled, devious deities changed the world unfurled around you, untrue yet still blue. Astonishingly stupendous, disingenuous, deranged, blue tunes in rooms that they just played too soon.
Now it's up to you.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Your constant coming and going confuses me. Lost and out of control, no longer my muse. Our previously, primitively, passion perishes permanently.
Primordial oozes from palatial palisaded parade, oozing on around into the sound you can't do. Finger of fate finally forgiven, giving what's forbade, saying some semblance of some kind of stylish shoe.
Forgetting not what was done, being walked over, a new life I will start without you, sane, sober. End poem.
Wow. Jenny and Pee-wee, you guys did an excellent job at this collab. Your alliteration is so much fun, but profound in its place. And the imagery in this is very strong and inviting. The poem is so well written, it gives off a kind of a cool vibe. I really love the first verse. Indentured isolation is causing me frustration. Serving society so secluded, same stance. Rebirth, growing ready to rise, run with resignation, pious of penitence, proper planning repentance. Just a real tongue twister, but really well written. It has a beautiful cadence and flow to it. And Jenny, this piece is really so good. I'm inspired by its substance. Keep it up, my lovely poet friend. Keep it up. Thank you for sharing with us tonight. And let me get you some more comments. Wow, what a great poem. AP.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Normal times you get two people together and they talk about, you know, how wonderfully things are going, but there was sort of this eeriness from Pee-wee in terms of things may not have been going as well as you thought. And so we ended up having a sort of a poem about breaking away, which was really interesting and a really fun way to talk about a really tough subject, and you did it with style.
Right. David.
Well, I found this poem fascinating. I thought the two of you worked really well on this particular write. I like the way you, the reading of each stanza by the person, I guess, that wrote it. I've done a lot of that several years ago when I first started writing for writing on old poetry, and it's really a lot of fun. I think you guys work well together. You seem to be able to blend with another person in the writing, and sometimes that's hard to do. You know, I mean, you have one way of saying it, and somebody else that's writing with you doesn't like that, so they say that to you, and then you change it, and you can overhaul a poem to death, you know. But I didn't see that in this write, and I think it's really, really interesting poem. I liked it very much.
Right on, David. Very good comment. And Carmine.
Well, I tell you, I love the flow. I love the excellent rhyme And I felt that it was really a psychological study of, well, to be reincarnated into some monotonous place where a malicious individual would be a manipulator, being allowed to come and go anywhere, but the person being manipulated was like a slave, someone who was out of control of what the feelings are, and being walked over consistently, she just couldn't take it anymore. So I mentioned over here that she was striving for a new life, but not with the one that she was with who was controlling. She had to break away. And that last word, sober, meant that he must have been, he must have been either an alcoholic or someone who was very domineering. And you can't live with people like that. So, really, when it comes to a new life from the devious disparities, that's an excellent title. There's the new life that she's looking for. The other one she wants to just get rid of. And that is, that's deep. Because that is a part of life. And too much of it is around.
Right. Well, you're so good at that, Carmine. And Franny, what did you think?
I love the way they talk to each other. It sounds so perfect. Not only the rhyme, but their voices, when they were speaking, the tone, just sounded beautiful. The alliteration in every single stanza and the rhyming, both were excellent. What I was stunned by is that they not only were doing a reincarnation, but she writes what it would be like to reincarnate, reborn as your worst nightmare, an enemy. So I think from that point on, she was supposed to be reborn into this person that was like her worst nightmare. And so was he, I guess. And I think that's where all this strife and animosity between them started. I don't know that it was in real life or if it was part of this reincarnated vision that they had of each other. So I thought it was really well done. I mean, very good imagination, the wording, beautifully done.
Yeah, good comment, Franny. Yeah,
thank you.
The alliteration in that killed me. I mean, it was just so
me
well
too.
Done.
Every line was amazing.
But you take two poets like these guys and put them together, and you can't expect anything but brilliance come out, you know.
Right.
So good job, you guys. Let's see. Let's do Pee-wee's. Can you grab Pee-wee's AP?
I can. Just one tick.
Thank you, my dear.
It's coming up in 2 seconds. It should be there if you refresh now.
Yep, I see it. Okay.
I'm going to have to step out for a minute. I got to walk my dog. I shall return.
All right, sweetheart.
Thanks, Franny.
Okay, I'll be back.
The masterpiece.
First called it a masterpiece. Everyone gazed up in awe at your marvel of technology, which became the doomsday clock. Masterpieces fall away, hands hold no more time. A spool of yarn in the stream of time, watch it all unwind. Oblivious to oblivion calling, freed from death and pain, you want to return yourself,
but your efforts are always in vain. Do you remember it starting, or which, or when, or where? Here you are, stuck in infinity. You know to it, there's no end. All the suffering and the madness, trying to undo what you've done, as you watch it all keep fading away. For you, there is no one. No one left to unravel. Clocks have all been unwound. Mistakes made in your travels. What you've lost cannot be found. So you traded all humanity for your magic time machine. But lost in this loop of tragedy, no longer is it your dream. Seconds slip away backwards. Minutes, they don't mean a thing. You now pass by your hours while playing jacks and going insane.
Wow, 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 Pee-wee. This was a masterpiece. With well-formed lines and musical cadence and rhyming that is out of this world good. The energy was very strong and esoteric, and I just loved how you used the clock as the metaphor. Very powerful. I really couldn't pick my favorite part because they're all so cool, but I really liked verse 3. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. Oblivious to oblivion calling, freed from death and pain. You want to return yourself, but efforts are always in vain. That's just such a strong verse. And I love that oblivious to oblivion calling. Really cool. I just love your wording. What a wonderful writer you truly are, Pee-wee. And this piece is so well written and it's crafted from your heart. Thank you for sharing this with us. It's got oodles of meaning and metaphor, and I just totally adored it. Let me get you some more comments. There she is.
Sorry, I missed that one.
David, what did you think? Uh-oh, did we lose David?
I'm just looking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to him.
That's okay. Let me welcome Deb to the show. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Linda.
How are you, darling?
Hanging in there. How are you?
I'm good. Things are flowing nicely here. It's nice to see you come around. What were we doing? We were on Pee-wee's. And Dave had commented.
No, I didn't.
Did you comment yet? I haven't commented.
I was off.
Same on me. Okay, that's right. That's right. I marked you down before I heard your voice.
Okay.
Did you get to hear the poem?
Did I?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, you want me to comment on it?
Would you like to? I sure would.
Okay, I like this a lot. I really enjoyed the storyline in it the most. I think it's really well written. The individual lines make you think about the storyline in the poem. And it also reminds probably a lot of us of similar experiences or circumstances we've all been in. And the way Pee-wee incorporated all of that into this poem is pretty good. That's some really good writing, and I like this a lot. I thought it was a really, really well-written poem and well thought out. Shows he spent some time on it, which I appreciate. I liked it. It was good.
Right. Cool. Deb, did you get a chance to hear it?
I did, yeah. I was just sitting here thinking about how different his recordings are than in the beginning. He's become this showman through the SoundClouds. And the poem's awesome. I think my favorite stanza, though, is the one I believe that you mentioned, oblivious to oblivion, calling, freed from the death and pain, you want to return yourself, but efforts are always in vain. I thought that was pretty hard-hitting. And I was also noticing there that this is a multi-award winner, so congratulations on the awards. Really, really great share.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Good job, Pee-wee. Let's see, Carmine.
Well, I tell you, Pee-wee definitely has a way with words. In fact, he's an excellent poet. To me, it was a tragic time loop of excellence. The words flowed steadily. They were smooth. The rhyme was there. Although sad, it had a message, and one that really struck me was, and no one was left to unravel the clocks. They all have been unwound. Mistakes made in his travels, and what he lost, it couldn't be found. We can't escape from our own doings and our own mistakes. And his masterpiece became his disaster of regret. And that right there is very powerful, because regret is one of the hardest things to carry in life. So it's a reflection of our own mistakes, our own misgivings, our own weaknesses, that sometimes are so deep that the consequences that we make, the choices we make, we either live with or die with. And some of the choices are not good. In this case, well, as far as the poll was concerned, his mistake was one he couldn't find or undo. And like I said, Pee-wee could be commended for his really excellent job.
Right on, Carmine. Good comment. AP.
Yeah, look, it was an excellent poem. I was going to comment, though, on the production, Linda, and the repetition, particularly in the first few stanzas there. It sort of gave it a really interesting feel. It was like an English sort of canticle, almost, like Are We Going to Scarborough Fair type sort of feel to it, because it went to... Because the repetition, it went to reinforce the words in a really interesting way, and it I think was really successful because of that.
Right on. Okay, and Franny was outside walking the dog.
Well, I read it when I came back, so I'll comment if you like.
She's back.
I read it, yeah. I really liked it.
Go ahead and comment.
Yeah, I really liked it, and I really liked one verse, too, the one that said, all the suffering and madness, trying to undo what you've done, as you watch it all keep fading away, for there is no one. That one, and the very last one, seconds slip away backwards, minutes don't mean a thing. You now pass by your hours while playing jacks and going insane. I think it was an incredible poem. I think he really outdid himself with it. Not only the rhyme that was really very well done, but the thought of creating this type of a clock, a doomsday clock, and then having to, this wonderful masterpiece that you think it's wonderful, and with each passing verse, it gets worse and worse, and he's realizing what he created was enough to drive you crazy because you really couldn't go back and you couldn't redo the things you wanted to redo. So I thought it was an excellent piece.
Cool. Right on. Okay. Hey, what is a ninja's favorite shoe?
The saddle shoe.
Okay. His favorite shoe. It's a sneakers.
That's a what?
Sneakers.
Squeakers?
Sneakers, you know.
I'm thinking of black and white. So I picked the saddle shoe.
Hey, a cheese factory exploded in France. Debris was everywhere.
Oh, no. That's a cute one.
Give me some love, guys.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I'll stop telling my stupid jokes if I don't get some love.
Oh, no, you have to.
Where will we go? Where will we go without my adventure jokes?
There's no shortness of love for us.
That's right. I can feel it. Right on. Okay, Carmine, you want to do your poem?
Do what?
Deb, are you in a rush? Okay,
yeah,
hang on. Deb, are you in a rush?
No, I have another half hour.
Oh, okay, well, okay, Carmine and then you.
That's cool.
Do you want me to read my poem now, dear?
No, I'm just putting it on the board, Carmine.
Actually, we'll do Carmine and then Deb. Okay, let me get back over there.
Now I got to go back to the group. Okay.
This is spectacular. Okay, Carmine, anytime you're ready, sweetheart.
Okay, here we go. It's entitled The Pink Dove. I remember it was September. Soundly sleeping, I got to weeping over emotions I never felt before. And that emotion moved my notion that something strange was at my door. With a scratching mixed and matching, a sound I never heard before. Slowly, gently, I saw the entry of a dove at my door, quoting, "Forevermore." This apparition in my condition questioned it of fairy law. At first sight, it was not white, but pink, like cotton in a candy store, quoting, "Forevermore." Strange delusion, my confusion could not explain the vision more than pink as cotton in a candy store. An angel begotten, quoting, "Forevermore." To be embracing, fondly chasing, placing her upon my knee. Quite beguiling, she is smiling to fill my heart with ecstasy. Feeling, feeling, jubilant, appealing. Mirage, to think they saw a dove of love. Softly, gently, made her entry into my life forevermore. My little Lila Lindholm.
That was genius.
That was the child that we waited for, and it was a preemie. And of course, when she did come into our lives, it was a gift of just unmeasurable preciousness. She's absolutely adorable. So her name actually is Lila Lenore. That's so cool.
You know, this was just nothing less than masterful. And the imagery was soft and so sincere. I really love this one, my friend. You have channeled Poe in a respectful and cunning way. And now, is this ever clever? The pink dove instead of the raven. Beautiful. You so inspire me, Carmine, as you are just so eloquent in your words. Thank you for joining us tonight, my sweetheart. And this was a lovely, lovely poem. And it's nice that it has so much meaning for you. You wrote it well. Let me get you some other comments. Francine, what did you think?
Well, I think you read it beautifully, Carmine. And I loved the pink dove. That had cotton candy color. It was just so beautiful. And the Forevermore, and I don't like Poe because he's so dark. So this was just perfect for me. I loved it. Apparition of my condition, questions. It of fairy lore. At first sight, it was not white, but a pink like cotton in a candy store. Quoting forevermore. That is so beautiful. And knowing that it's so meaningful to you makes it even better. I think it's genius, as Linda said. It really is a masterpiece. Just lovely. The whole thing put together so well.
Thank you, Franny. That was lovely.
You're welcome.
Deb.
I think that was the first time I heard someone pull out their Poe voice and read, but change it to a sweet sentiment, an angel begotten, quoting forevermore, to be embracing, fondly chasing, placing her upon my knee. There was just so much sweetness in it. And like I said, I was just pretty fascinated with the fact that it was a poem of love, because it wouldn't have been what you would expect, especially with the repeat of forevermore. So it's that what you would expect to hear from Poe, you didn't. Instead, we got this tenderness. So I thought that was an amazing twist, Carmine.
Mm-hmm.
Great share.
Great comment.
Right on. Thanks, Deb.
Yeah, well,
AC.
Thank you.
I think this is a really interesting write. It's beautiful, beautiful subject and beautifully done, and it reminded me greatly. There's a wonderful lyricist called Bernie Taupin who wrote with Elton John, and in one of his early albums, he wrote about this very subject in a song called The Greatest Discovery, and this reminded me a lot of that piece and the emotions in it, and it was really well captured.
Right on, AP. Okay. I guess we're going to do Deb next.
Okay.
Did everybody? Yeah, everybody.
Deb's put Ben's beating me. She's on the board now.
Oh, I love this one.
Did you see this one already?
That's where to go.
I put it on the chat wall, but did you see it already? I don't know how. You couldn't have.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Um, Looks like you have some guests in the studio. If you want to grab them before I read.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. Oh, that's what that little thing is. 916 is my Hatter.
AP, was that Tumbleweed? Is that Tumbleweed?
It's me right here. He's got me.
It's Wayne.
I'm Wayne.
Yeah,
I'm
Wayne.
Hey. Hey, what's up,
Wayne, man? I don't see you on the board. Do you have a SoundCloud you need loaded?
I don't know. I just got here. I have to check it out quick, but I'm going to see you read first.
Oh, okay. I can do that. Okay, this is called Meet the Whiskey Moon by the Emerald Sea. And I just like the picture, so I decided to write for it. And here we go. Yellow-breasted chats sing in the trees with the whistles from the evening breeze blowing brine cologne from the tropical seas. As the whiskey ewes stain the mist-veiled moon, big blood-red roses in the garden bloom, spreading their sweet petal perfume. Clouds rotate in the cooling night air. Now the winds whip my brown curly hair. Then hazel eyes look to the skies and stare. Female nighthawk flies, courted by the male, painting nasal calls as brown wings sail, striped with light shades of caramel, standing up on the sand-covered hill by breeding grounds of the whippoorwill, listening to bird songs as feathered males trill. Out from the shadows you waltz over to me, and we walk to the bungalow by the sea, wrapped in marble, ornamental ivy, and palm.
Wow. What a tender, tender story that is. This is such a wonderful poem by you, Deb, and it's so descriptive and has a fabulous rhyme scheme along with the bright and rhythmic imagery. I think the part I like best is actually two parts. The second verse, as whiskey hues stain the mist-veiled moon, big blood-red roses in the garden bloom, spreading their sweet petal perfume. I just love the aromatic tone to that and the colors. And then the third verse, clouds rotate in the cooling night air. Now the winds whip my brown curly hair. Then hazel eyes look to the skies and stare. That's just such a beautiful line. And I love the part about your brown curly hair. That's great. You are such a romantic writer when you want to be. So sensuous yet soft. Good stuff, Deb. Thanks for sharing this tonight. And super thank you for coming to the show as well. Let me get you some
thank you,
more comments. You're very welcome. AP.
Yeah, Deb was the person who actually got me to write sensuously. She's very, very good at it. And often we think about Deb and we think about the colours that she uses, and she uses colours very, very well, but she has a beautiful sense of timing and word choice outside colours, and she shone it in this particular piece.
Wayne?
Yes. Yes, I come in. I said, wow, that is where I need to be. Or maybe I am there. This is fabulous. Lovebirds, when it started the poem, was great. The last verse was wonderful. Last verse was wonderful when we walked off together and said, and we walked to the bungalow by the sea wrapped in marble ornamental ivy. I remember that. I remember that now. That was a great time. Great job there, Deb. Wonderful one.
I'm glad
so
you remember
me, Wayne.
Thank you so much.
Carmine, what did you think of Deb's lovely poem?
Well, geez, she's a very colorful writer, my dear, and you can definitely tell that she's a romanticist. Of course, as was mentioned before, her words and the the application of the sincerity of what she's saying gets across. And so when you read the poem, you get just a good feeling about, you know, what she's saying in behalf of the location, life, and everything that goes along with that perfect picture. And that's what it's all about. The writing is actually poetic painting, and she's an excellent poetic artist.
Oh, thank you so much,
Carl. Right on. And Francine.
Well, I love the nature in it. I mean, it starts with the yellow-breasted chat singing in the trees and the whistles from the evening breeze and blowing brine cologne from the tropical seas. Not only the imagery, the colorfulness of it, but the sounds of nature and the smells coming from the nature. It's just, and it goes throughout, you know, the nature theme goes throughout the poem, which is really lovely. Of course, I love how she writes. The phrasing is outrageous. I picked the same one you did. The whiskey used stained the mist. Well, not, wait. Is that the one? Yes. As whiskey used stained the mist-veiled moon, big blood red roses in the garden bloom, spreading their sweet petal perfume. And I was looking at her dress in the picture as I was reading it, and it synced, S-Y-N-C. It synced so well together that I said, this is like the perfect, and I just love the ending, where out of the shadows you waltz over to me, and we walk to the bungalow by the sea, wrapped in marbled ornamental ivy. Gorgeous. Paints beautiful pictures. Really beautiful, Deb.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Great comment, Franny. And Hatter.
Yeah. Deb, do you count your syllables on your lines, or you just play it by ear?
I play it by ear, and I make it fit to the pattern I was trying to to write
no,
in my head.
Yes, the three-line rhymes, not easy to do and feel comfortable with. I mean, this is beautifully done. Yeah, you hit nine syllables every first line except one. Is the only reason I ask, because it is, when I noticed that, I wanted for the first time to ask you if you do count to make sure
not.
That the
I do not.
Thank you.
Do not.
You do not need to. It's very good.
Well, thank you so much.
Great. Okay, AP, can you grab mine?
Can I fit in first, if that's okay, Linda?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
There's two things I want to say. One, Franny, did you go incredibly well in the Winter Park competition, or was I watching something else? Franny?
Franny?
She's not there. Okay, we'll have to say it later. The second one, Hatter, you've got a mute now. Okay, Hatter's got a mute now. Okay, you ready, Linda?
Hello,
are you there? Hello, Linda,
yes,
can you hear me?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Here we go. Well, this is good stuff. I'm
okay.
Sure anybody can. This is upon a benchtop, a word palindrome, and it goes a little bit like this. Spill messily as strewn possessions collide, pencils dodging with crayons covering the bench stone wide. Abiding surface of boards wooden and tins open, hiding bills and scripts needing attention. Perching bars and brushes as guides, specially porter, lurching shapes of mountains as fall water every quarter. Seeking inspiration off seas in swimming colour, peaking bench grey, above tides mapped some objects duller. Duller objects, some map, tides above grey bench peaking, colour swimming in seas, off inspiration seeking,
quarter every waterfall, as mountains of shapes lurching, quarter specially guides, as brushes and bars perching. Attention needing scripts and bills hiding, open tins and wooden boards, a surface abiding. Wide stone bench, the covering crayons with dodging pencils, collide possessions, strewn as Nestle spill. End poem.
AP, you are a genius. I can't fathom how you write one of those. It's just crazy. And keeping it meaningful on both sides of the coin must be a difficult thing to do, but you do it. And you gave a very descriptive imagery here, and you kept a strong rhythm scheme throughout. This was very well done. And the imagery of the bench with the crayons and the pencils on it, and a tin with scripts needing attention, that's so cool. It just is a descriptive image in my brain, but I think that this is extremely well done, AP. You are the master of palindromes. I just loved it. Let me get you some more comments. Adder.
Oh, don't ask him. He hates them. Linda, he thinks they're evil. He thinks that they're sort of from Lucifer.
He thinks they're evil?
Yeah, he does.
That's funny.
They are.
So he's not going to comment.
Thank you.
Can I just interrupt everybody for 1 second?
Sure.
I just don't know what a palindrome is.
Ah, okay. Francis,
sorry.
No. Francis, if you go to the middle of the palm, yeah? So you go to line up, which starts with peaking, yeah? Have you got it in front of you? Grey, above tides, matte, some objects duller. That's line 8, yeah? Okay. Line 9 is the exact reverse. Duller objects, some matte, of grey bench peaking. And so you get the first 8 lines, and they are reversed in lines 9 to 16, completely reversed, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. You are a genius.
Isn't that cool?
That's like so hard to do. Wow. I've never tried one, but I can't even imagine trying it. Wow. Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted. But thank
you. Not supposed to be that.
That's okay. I myself was unaware of what a palindrome was until I saw one of AP's inventions here. Carmine.
Hey, I tell you, he has a definite flow. It's very musical, and you know what? That's what poetry is all about. In respect to the rhyme and everything, I really felt he did an excellent job. And as you mentioned, it's a gift when you have that certain touch, whether you're a musician, dancer, what have you. The presentation of your performance or your writing comes across, and that poem definitely did come across, and I really appreciate it and liked it. He should be commended for an excellent job that he did, especially with the flow, you know, and the feeling that you got out of it.
Thank you, Carmine.
Nice, Carmine. Franny.
I'm still amazed. I'm still trying to read the same two lines over and over again. That is amazing to me. The whole poem, and before I understood what that was, just reading the poem itself was very lovely. And, again, I like the nature in it. I'm a nature lover, so when talking about mountains and falls water and tides and things like that, I get really into it. And I take in all the different senses. It affects me. So I really enjoyed it. but I didn't know what the palindrome meant, and it was driving me crazy. But now that I know, I'm just reading it and rereading it. I think it's amazing to be able to write in these certain styles that they have. I'm very poor at form writing, but when I see something like this, it's you know, really gets me. Beautiful.
There's less than probably 10 of us who do palindromes on site, Franny.
I believe that.
It's a fairly small group.
I definitely believe that. I think this has to be something that's really difficult. I mean, I've tried a couple of forms that are a lot easier, but this one is, I don't even think I would try it.
I'm going to try it.
I've got a comment.
All right, you try it. You try
it.
I'll try it.
Way to
go. Okay.
Way to go.
Come back to the dark side.
We want to hear it when you write it.
Yeah.
How much coffee
see
do I have to drink? How many cups of coffee? You can bet on how many cups of coffee I have to drink to do it.
How about three? Three cups of coffee do it?
Oh, dude, I drink three cups of coffee on a regular day. And that's double strength. I brew it, and then I put a tablespoon of instant in the brewed coffee. And that's what I drink in a day.
That's a lot.
That's how I have to stay awake.
Wow.
Okay. Deb, what did you think of AP's lovely palindrome?
Okay, first, before I comment, you make your coffee and then you stir in a teaspoon of instant. Oh, my word. You must bounce off the wall.
A heaping teaspoon.
I can't even.
Yes.
I'm a coffee freak. Yeah, well. Just the thought of that just gave me the chills. So, like, holy cow. Anyway, wow.
Linda, try espresso. You might not have to add so much extra to it.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
It's really strong coffee, espresso coffee.
Yeah, and then you can put a shot of Sambuca in there to tone it down a little
That's
bit.
Right. And it really tastes good. Gives it a little sweetness.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Except for today, I'm sober.
Okay.
Okay, that's right. So then skip that and stick with your teaspoon
of... Just the Sambuca. Just make the espresso.
Wow. I can't even fathom that.
You could put lemon rind in it. That goes good, too.
And I drink it black.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah,
I drink that black.
Oh, yeah, no. I need my cream and sugar. Anyway. But back to this, quote, evil poem. They are hard, you guys, because when you write the poem in the forward version, you have to keep in mind that when you swap it around, it has to make sense when you read it in the backwards way as well. So I have a half a dozen or so, and they take work. But unless you're AP, he just, like... my first introduction to these were from him, and I had to try it, and it was just like, it's mind-blowing, because you write one line, and then you read it backwards, and if it doesn't make sense, you got to make your adjustments. So I do mine two lines. I write the line one way, and then I write it backwards, and then I spread them apart. So it's hard. It's really, really hard, but you really should try everything at least once, you know. But anyway, the poem, it's got really cool visuals throughout it, and I think that was really awesome. But I always get such a kick when he brings them out, because as soon as Hatter hears the word palindrome, he starts to cringe, because he truly does hate them, and he calls them evil, and I like when AP brings them. Aside from the fact that they're brilliant, I like that it gets Hatter going. But yeah,
it's all about the small words. It's all about the little words.
It's okay,
and I can't do it.
I won't let big bad palindrome get you.
I gotta see if I could do one sentence like that. You got me bugged.
Well, you start off with an easy sentence like "love is beauty," and then backwards it's "beauty is love." That just gives you the idea of how it has to be.
Right. And as long as it starts small.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you keep adding another word to it.
Both ways, you got a good start. But,
right.
I mean, look at his line, too. Look how long that is, and it's still twisted around to come out quite well. So it's just, I like to call them show-off, and these palindromes are part of why.
Right.
But anyway, Linda, if you refresh your studio, I just added in Wayne's SoundCloud for you, and I have to bolt.
I want to comment on that piece, point of sake or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Wayne hasn't commented yet.
May I comment? Well, I said, this reminds me of one of the seven wonders of the world. I don't think I've ever saw such a feat. I think you use some kind of mirrors when you write this, but I don't think it breaks the rules. I'll check. I read it the same time, standing on my head, and it's still really good. So, great job of this.
Thank you, Juan.
Great. Okay. Can you grab mine now, AP?
I can, yes.
You're the bomb.
It is coming now. Oh, hold on. No, it's not. I've got Debs in front of me. Bear with me. Good damage. Should be coming. Okay, now we've got it. Ah, that's fun. I've read the title. It is there now, Linda.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there we go. The Telltale Fart.
Okay.
That's the one.
Is that it?
This is for you guys who love Poe. It's called The Telltale Fart. Mad, but I am not. So I can tell you of this man whose flatulence was but a plague. Hence, I came up with a plan. Every night when we'd sup, he'd sit back in his chair, and then he'd let his bowels to rip. This sent me on a dare. It's not just that, but through the day, he never tried to quit. He'd let them fly and covered up by announcing some crude wit. One fine day when we sat and drank a pill of cider, he let one fly and then replied, "It must be barking spiders." Now every night this went on, he never let one free, and so I felt that he aimed his butt direct at me. But 'twasn't true, he labored not to send his evil smell direct at me, but rather he was aiming straight at hell. But I couldn't stand it, so I came up with this plan. If he wouldn't stop his farts, I'd murder this old man. So every night for 1 week at midnight I came spying, but horrendous was his bedroom air, I swear that I'm not lying. It happened on the eighth night, when I came I made a sound. I woke the man, and that made his flatulence abound. Now smelling all this hot gas is really not a plus, as well as all the gruesome smells coming out of his anus. So that is when the time came to kill the old man fast, because I couldn't take much more of the old man's gas. I came and flipped his bed on he, and he became stone dead, but now it came a smelling thing, now haunting me instead. You couldn't call me crazy, for his body I did hide underneath the floorboards, as I knew unsanctified. His blood dripped in the bathtub through the floor just underneath. You couldn't find a trace of him from toenails to his teeth. Now he be dead, but haunts me still, but not with beating heart. I could smell old rotten eggs, just like the old man's farts. Neighbors called on the police because they heard the screams. I told them that it must have been me waking from a dream. So then I invited them in to taste some tea. I sat on the very board above where the body be. After searching this old house, nothing could they find. So that's when they choose to sit and chat. I began to lose my mind. I could hear the farting still coming from his dead behind. I feared that if it continued, the police would surely find. Then my head began to hurt, As the farts got louder still, soon I couldn't stand it and began to lose my will. Louder, louder they became. I screamed, I'm not a nut. But can you hear the farting coming from the dead man's butt? Yes, indeed, I killed him. I can't take it any longer because he haunts me with his gas. Each moment it gets stronger. And so was I arrested for this gruesome murder done. So remember, farting is not reason to go and off someone. End poem.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
That's my tribute to Poe.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful.
Linda. Linda,
yes,
this
Carmine.
Poem, I just love that poem. I could, you know, you have a personality as wide and expansive as China, Africa, and South America combined. You can tell, you can tell it in your work. It was so comical that I was just laughing. It's hard for me to give you any comments on that because I'm laughing. I mean, it's hilarious, and you are to be
comment.
Highly commended. I mean, taking this from the Telltale Heart and changing it into this masterpiece is highly commendable. So, my dear, our hats are off to you, and our claps are all for you. Just keep on writing like
you're
doing.
Thank you, my darling.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful, man. I really mean it.
Thank
it's
you,
fantastic. I love it.
Wayne.
Hi.
Yes.
Did he
hear
Wayne?
Oh,
there.
You hear me? Yes. That's what I said. I think his poem stinks.
Yep.
Wonderful poem, a great writer.
No.
He may be full of, but hey, maybe not. Never heard so much about passing gas. Whew. Great point. Good job.
Funny, Wayne. Deb. Oh,
I think
Deb dropped.
She said she had to go. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Franny.
She did.
This had me hysterical, Linda. I couldn't even tell you exactly what you wrote, but I was laughing throughout the whole thing. It was fantastic. Unbelievable. I don't have words for you. This was just too funny. And the rhyme stayed throughout the whole poem. It was long, and you stayed with it, and the story was excellent. Excellent little story. I think that if it ever got published, people would go crazy for it. I hope everybody gets a chance to
You know,
read it.
I used the college
humor.
What you know
college
the
humor?
Ones that the students use. Yeah, that they use for studying, and it was on Poe. So I did it line for line to get it to match the story exactly. There's
right.
a few little artistic things in there, but yeah. AP, what did you think?
Oh, perfect.
Well, I've got to admit, Linda, it's not a thing that I'd actually turn my mind to. And that is, what actually happens after we die? And do you still pass me? And yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's true. What you wrote was completely true. Which sort of
That's true.
Surprised me. I sort of said, well, I've learned something today. Apart from laughing my head off, I've actually learned something. So thank you.
Thanks, AP. Hatter.
This needs to be on every on the wall of every public restroom across the nation. This is No, this is very good.
Thanks, Hatter.
You know, it all tied in very well. I'm impressed.
Thank you, darling. Okay, let's, I guess, do Hatter's next.
Good. Yep. Well, he's put up on the board, so he should be right to roll.
Yeah.
I'm running just as fast as I can. Okay. Okay.
I lost it.
I think I just wrote this for the halibut.
They went off the board.
You got it?
Oh, wait a minute. What happened to mine? Oh, there we go. Hatter. There we go. She's all yours, Hatter.
Okay. Feels like this. Hey, Pete, can you read this for me?
Yeah, of course I can. I don't. Yeah, no, jump in. This is by Jay Hatter, of course. Praying miracles is all falls apart. And it goes a little bit like this. Repeat the words through the eyes of a dream. Try to believe what it might mean without the arrows to point one way. Kneeling with hope, you begin to pray. Taken inside, trying to hide from the pain that wants to say. Lay down beside me, promise to lie to me. Tell me the words you cannot say. Years cannot say what it's done to me. My smile never sees the dawn. There once was a time when you were mine, and now I know it's gone. Running from nightmares disguised as dreams, waking up tired of hearing screams. Naked in daylight, clothed in the dark, praying for miracles as it all falls apart. End poem.
Wow.
Thank you, AP.
That was just so cool. Your opening verse is so surrealistic, surreal. It's got this real soft, magical, enchanting way about it. And then the sadness of it comes in and makes a profound statement. Your rhyming in this is always stellar, like you always do, but the enchantment of it is another thing you do well, and I've seen it in a lot of your poems. It's just magical and really cool vibes, and this is just a beautiful poem, Hatter. I love this one. Even though it's sad, I just see such beauty in it. So thank you for sharing this beautiful poem with us tonight. And Fran, what did you think?
I thought it was a beautiful poem as well. And I liked actually the last line just was outrageously beautiful. Naked in daylight, clothed in the dark, praying for miracles as it all falls apart. It was hopeful in the beginning, although you're saying to lie to me. But there's still some hope there. My smile never sees the dawn. There once was a time when you were mine, and now I know it's gone. Running from nightmares disguised as dreams, waking up tired of hearing like screams. I just think it's gorgeous. Just,
thank you.
I can't say anything else.
You.
I just love it.
Very
romantic.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to see if I could still do it.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah, you did. Carmine.
It's an abrasible poem. It's a kind of poem that touches your heart. And
mm-hmm.
The flow of the words that she has, you know, the rhyme and what she's speaking of, well, like I say, it's a touching poem, and I loved it. I really did. For a person to write poetry whereby it touches other people, you can actually say that that's a gift. And as far as my hearing what I heard, she has a wonderful gift. She does.
Thank you.
Right on, Carmine. AP.
Yeah, look, it's got some lovely lines in it, doesn't it? It's sort of classically Hatter in that way. It sort of turns its way back on itself. And there's a sort of sadness sitting below the words, and that's what Hatter does so well.
Thank you, AP. Yeah, I entered the contest. I had to see if I could still do it. Thank you, guys.
Is Wayne still with us?
I don't know.
Wayne, are you there?
I'm right here. I'm right here.
Right there.
Did you have me a comment?
Yeah.
Hatter, I think it's a wonderful poem of a lady friend not being as honest as you would desire. Bring the dreams of nightmares in is a good touch. I wish you would help to pray, but God has no control over women. And I'm sorry to say. And I like the couplet, running from nightmares disguised in dreams, waking up tired and hearing the screams. That's a great line right there, but you can't run from it, you can't sleep, you don't need to pray. What can I say? You're in love. I've been there, brother. Rough. Good job with the poem.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne.
All right. Great, great, great. Hey, why did the chicken cross the playground?
To lay an egg.
To get to the other,
Oh, I thought that might be the right answer, but you know.
Okay, let's see. We're running short on time. Let's do Wayne.
Hey, I got one for you.
Yeah,
I got a joke for you.
This is a little brevity. Oh. It's not like 38 words long. It was a contest I got into, so I thought it'd be nice to read it. So play your head and play it if you want to.
Do we have the link for it too?
I'll tell you. I don't know if you do not. I can read it. I reckon I can read it. Just read it. It's not that long. It's just 38
words. I've got it on the board now. If people refresh it on the board now.
I see it. A Sparkling World?
Yes.
Okay, there it is. Got it.
Okay, and I will start the SoundCloud. Where are you? There you are. Right now.
This poem is called A Sparkling World. Woke up this morning, had silver sparks in my soul. Sunshine looked like diamonds, glittering out my window. And all the trees were shining, even my dog had a glow. The glistening reflections were brilliantly bright, putting on a show. Come together.
Contest, they want 40 sparkling words. So this is my 40 sparkling words.
Wow. That was cool. I loved the music behind your words, and the words together, they just melded, and it sounded so cool, Wayne. Nice little poem. I don't usually see that kind of brevity from you, but it was sweet. Yeah, good job. Good job. I like brevity that says something, and that was cool and had vibes, and you did it. I liked it. Let me get you some more comments. Francine.
I love the first line the best. Woke up this morning, had silver sparks in my soul. I love that line, Wayne. That's beautiful. Sunshine looked like diamonds glittering out my window. All the trees were shining. Even my dog had a glow. The glistening reflections were brilliantly bright, putting on a show. Oh, man, I love it. It's so bright and lively and sparkly and all nice things. Wonderful brevity.
Thank you very much.
And the music,
music was cool too.
Yeah, then the Beatles playing come together. Well, they weren't Beatles playing, they come together.
Right.
Yeah.
Really, very
right
good.
On.
Very good brevity. Enjoyable.
Hatter.
Yeah, that's very good, Wayne. Brevity is something that everybody's got to do, and because you've got to be able to do both and still be satisfied. I remember being hooked on the longer lines, and one day I said, no more than three stanzas, so I went through my three period. But this would also go with Donovan's Season of the Witch, wouldn't it, Wayne?
Yep. Yeah, I'm brevity's on my highlight. I don't do brevities very often. That's just the contest asked for, so I did it for a change.
Yeah, it was good. Good pets.
AP.
One thing I can tell you is you've got to be free. Come together right now.
Over me.
Like that. Great choice of words. I love the backing. Really work very, very well together. Well done.
Thank you,
Ms. AB. And Carmine.
I like the way he read that, and also the music behind it just embellished it. I go along with, the comments that were explained and also mentioned by, you know, our other friends of our poetry family. And when you hear something like that, you know you're among very talented people, and that's what I love about this program, about your show, because there's such variety. Each one has his own touch, and in this poem, I felt a very poignant touch, and like I said, with the music and the expressions of his reading, we're all in good company.
So you think you're there, man?
Yeah, we are.
Hey, Carmine, Wayne is our king of alliteration. He does it, like, so well. Someday you'll have to hear one of his alliteration poems. Okay.
What was that again, dear?
Wayne is the king of alliteration. He writes wonderful, wonderful alliteration poems.
Well, there it is. You see, when you have alliteration, you have all the other aspects of, the poetry, should I say, genre. Then you you're in a family all very unique. And not everybody can write. And not everybody can write in respect to the flow, the rhyme, maybe the free verse, whatever it is. And like I said, being a teacher and also had teaching poetry and what have you from the classics even to the romanticism and realism, those masters perfected that poetry. When you read them, that's why they're lasting. You can't kill the words. And just like the young lady was saying, like beauty is excellent, or excellence is beauty, or a thing of beauty is a joy forever. That's all part of the language that stays with you. And what I'm hearing tonight, I'm just saying it's IMPRESSIVE, which stands for impressive. And that comes from an old man's home.
Right on.
Take it for what it is.
Very cool, Carmine. All right.
I can't say anything but the name, my dear.
Right on. Titus, AP, do you want to grab Titus?
I can. Yep.
Thank you, my darling.
And Francine's got one up on the board too.
Oh, okay.
Your call, Linda. Which one do you want to head?
Yeah, let's get Titus is out of the way, and then we'll do Franny.
Okay.
Because I know he's staying awake to hear it, and it's late where he's at.
Yeah. No,
so
it's going to be really early. Yeah, it's going to be really early in the UK.
Yeah, this is really cool. Okay. Here we go.
Hortensia. The dew has hoisted its exalt as the sun arose. Umbels were yet to be seen. But bearing down before we take to the stage, chlorophyll gown had gathered back its bold but beautiful pose. Curtains I consider best while nature's preen. It gives bucolic scene spring feeling. It shows unknowingly the time and place, high on toes, summer takes its place from a beautiful screen. Lifting the auditorium sunlight, the superfluous adornment, tiny clusters adapt the many fractal, each to their own immodesty to become tactile, in unison and sway with a deep inner snugness. I suggest the early summer to initiate openings, a Swan Lake adventure, tinged with blue tips. They'll dare not hesitate to wear the beige slips, pure the ardent whispers birth of Venus brings. 'Tis together they will choose that one, if it were, to keep fulfillment with this wonderful intimacy. Ballerinas who have instilled innocent delicacy between themselves and the eye of the beholder. For months on end, the flowering season, it will entertain the audience. The green-fingered variety, forever and a day, will extend this social society. Free will, their petals are a supporting role to seal.
Wow. Tony, once again, you thrill me with the beauty of Hortensia. And to pair them with the delicate soft tassels of the ballerinas on stage in the leaves is quintessential and prophetic. I think you see the future. Beautiful things that none have seen before and exist in a magical realm. The whole poem was so symphonic and well-written, I can't begin to say. You are a master of words, my dear friend. My favorite part is, I think it's verse 5, I'm not sure. It is together they will choose that one, if it were, to keep fulfillment with this wonderful intimacy. Ballerinas who have instilled innocent delicacy between themselves and the eye of the beholder. That is just, I mean, so lovely. Such eloquence and enamored writing that gives off an intricate silhouette of imagery. I love it as I love the last one, A French Garden, and they will endear in my heart forever. Thank you for sharing this at my show. I truly appreciate it, Tony. These are lovely, and I hope you get some sleep. I hope we didn't keep you up too late. Good night, my friend, and let me get you some more comments. Wayne.
This is a lovely poem. It's perfectly balanced. Great read. Great music. I don't care how great the show, it has no comparison to the quality of this poem. The background music lifts this poem up on the stage. It makes the crowd stand with ovation. This is amazing. Great job. Great job. Good poem.
Right on. Francine.
Most enjoyable. I also like the combination of the flower with the ballerinas. And I think some of the, like the curtains considered best while nature's freeing is bucolic scenes, spring feeling. It shows unknowingly the time and place high on toes. Summer takes its place from a beautiful screen. I saw a combination of the flowers being shown through the window and the ballerinas dancing. And it was just beautiful. The whole poem, really beautiful. Every stanza,
yeah.
Every stanza had something special in it.
I agree. Indeed. AP.
Yeah, look, Tony's a lovely poet with a great heritage and tradition in the English sense and frame, and he calls upon some of the great poets to get his verses. There's a sort of sense of Keats. There's a sort of sense of Byron. There's sort of this echoing the history in his words. And they always are brilliantly composed, and he always does a wonderful job reading his pieces. So thanks, Tony, for supporting the show and for just continuing to write in the way you do.
Right on. Carmine.
Oh, my dear, the elegant ballet, the butterfly of dancers, as that lifts the auditorium to superfluous adornment, is all in perfect sequence, in unison, with the perfect sway. It's poetry in motion. These ballerinas who have instilled are innocent, and with their delicacy, they entertain an audience. It's extremely difficult in respect to the ballerina, and the ballerina only has so much that time, because as they grow older, then of course they don't have the same delicacy as far as the young one would have. There's precision in their timing. There's precision in their grace, the variety that they display with that delicacy is perfect. Like the ballerinas, I honestly can say that Titus did an excellent presentation of poetic artistry here, and he captured it very beautifully. I, being a musician and being with choreographers, and et cetera, this artistry of the ballerina is unique. They are the utmost beautiful expressions of dancing art on any stage. And to be a part of it, to see them, is just heartwarming. It's heartwarming. So congratulations, Dinesh. You did another excellent job in your presentation. And I humbly and honestly commend you for your gift.
Thank you, Carmine. I'm sure Titus would really appreciate that. And let's see, header dropped, so it's Franny's turn.
No, I spoke already.
What?
I spoke already.
No, I mean for your poem.
Oh, read my poem. I'm okay. It must be getting late.
That's okay. Are you in there, Franny?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're up on the board.
Okay. I was in a contest, and you had to write a poem on "It Was a Day I Will Always Remember." And they said, if you want, you can put a picture. So I said, no picture needed. That's how it got its title. No picture needed. Is everybody here with it? Have it?
Yep.
Okay. I got it.
It was a day I will always remember, when the sky sparkled blue and clear. I saw a plane fly by on my way to school. I was there by 7:30, soon a day of drear. At about 8:30, a call came in from my son. Mom, turn on the TV. A plane hit Jack's building. I was in the office, plain as can be, a plane stunned. It was sticking out of the building next to Jack's. I went to look from the locker room window. I could see the tall gray buildings clearly there. Then I hear screaming from the office, and all I could see was dark smoke covering everywhere. I left school and ran from my car, drove home on a prayer. When I arrived, I went inside, turned on the TV, and watched. People were screaming and running, no building there. What happened to those inside? Did they get out of there? I stayed by the phone and the TV for 3 weeks until one day I got the news that Jack's body was found. It was actually a piece that could be identified among the ash, steel, boulders, and rubble on the ground. The day will always be the day I will never forget. 22 years have passed, but grief and sadness don't part. Not as sharp as when it happened, many years have passed, but still a day that carries its weight in my heart. End poem.
Wow. Franny, you keep coming up with this stuff that is just heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
And well-written, I might say. But, yeah, you were on the front lines of that. And
yeah,
I commend you for
some time, really,
for writing about it.
Thank you. I don't write about it often anymore. I wrote a whole book about it, but it's like, you know, it's only so much you can say after a while.
This was beautifully written. And
thank you.
And especially that heart-wrenching part about, now, Jack was your husband?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
He went back up. He could have gotten out. He went back up because they gave an all-clear signal. And he was on the safety team,
yeah.
So he says, well, I'll go back up and make sure everybody's out. And then the second plane hit, and he got stuck up there.
Well,
and then
Jack's
shortly after that, the building collapsed.
Hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Amazing. Amazing. AP, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, it was quite a remarkable set of events and day, and I'm very, very glad that I wasn't personally involved, Franny, and my heart goes out
right.
to you for being personally
thank
because
you.
it was a horrible, horrible set of events, and you know, I can still remember the uncertainty of the day as to what that actually meant, and was that the first day of many, or was that just a one-off, or what the hell was it? It was something that left a mark on all of us, but nowhere near the mark that it left on you.
I know, and there were so many families involved and people, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
Carmine.
My dear, that day was a day of infamy. Just like many within our country, it was explicit. It was engraved in stone, in granite. And as far as the memory is concerned, the true love never forgets. And those men ought to be commended. My son, fire chief of our area here in Cape Coral, Florida, and Fort Myers. And he had known many, many of the men who had lost their lives and families within that catastrophic thing. So she painted the picture that is part of history that will never be forgotten. And she should be
very
commended
true.
By it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh, Wayne.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, this thing about 9/11, it's sad when you think about it, because I remember when it happened. I was on Castle Service myself, then doing all the event, and doing all the cleanup. And it was just, I can't imagine being there part of it and having a hero husband like yours that passed through it.
Man, this is a great poem, and it's sadly, and God bless you. You've been through a lot. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Good comment, Wayne. Yeah. All right.
Thank you,
since
Tom.
We're running out of time here.
Yep.
We can still go on, right, AP?
We can, Linda, yes.
Okay. We got two needs reader. I thought, Franny, you could read Rhonda's, and I'll read Angel's.
Sure.
You want to pull up AP?
I'll put Rhonda's up first.
Okay,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is up there now. Linda?
Okay, 1 second. I don't see it yet. I got to refresh,
got it.
I think. Hold on 1 minute. Let's stop with this. My whole page went off. I'm trying to refresh, but I'm not getting it. Maybe you should read first, Linda, and I'll read next. I'm trying to get back.
Maybe I'll read.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
All right.
This
second.
Is Embrace the Day by Randa Yosri. When time chisels his tracks on your face and aging muscles moan, weeping from pain, while night skin bathes in the sun's silky rays, today is a precious gift to treasure. When agony's wounds invade body cell by cell, and frustration bangs angrily on the door, while sprouts pop their heads out of the rubble, today is a precious gift to treasure. When the past leaves strained footprints on life, and hope lost his gratitude over the years, while spring defeats winter in its den, today is a precious gift to treasure. When obstacles clasp the future hand, and strength starve, dying of thirst, while bees hum inside their beehive, today is a precious gift to treasure. End poem.
That's beautiful.
You know, this is such a lovely, lovely piece, and the metaphors in this are soft and kind, and I love the repetition of the line, today is a precious gift to treasure. I think what I like most about the poem is that it's all about love. No matter what's going on, you remember the love and beauty of the moment, but there's always hope. You have woven together a piece with lovely strands of words, truly a beautiful poem, Rhonda. I think I like the last verse best. It just gives off some awesome vibes. When obstacles clasp the future's hand and strength starves, dying of thirst, while bees hum inside their beehive, today is a precious gift to treasure. Man, thank you for sharing this, my darling. And thank you for sending this over tonight. I really appreciate it. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, I really liked it, Linda. It just had a sense of optimism and positiveness, and we often think of aging and we think of, you know, falling apart, and we often forget the benefits that it gives us in what we do and how we do it, and nice to see an optimistic poem.
Right on. Carmine.
She wrote that poem for me, dear, and it's true. I, at my age, I embraced every day and try to make the best of my life. I always tell my friends, get older, but don't get old, because old age,
right,
and she said, you know, and chiseled tracks on your face and weeping from pain, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, there's hope and there's life. And where there's life, there definitely should be that's a treasure. So her poem is very, should I say, moving, very realistic. It's very poignant. And for guys like yours truly, it touches the heart. So she did an excellent job.
Cool. That's so sweet. Franny, what did you think?
Well, I think she's trying to say that even when bad happens, or even when things are really dark, it's still a beautiful day because you have this day to make it better. Or there's hope still. In other words, it didn't end yet. So as long as there's still today, it's a precious gift to treasure. And the repetition of that line makes it all the more stand out and important to the poem. She's saying in the beginning, or I think it's the second verse, when agony's wounds invade body cell by cell and frustration bangs angrily on the doors while sprouts pop their heads out of the rubble. So she's comparing cancer's invasion of the body, and then there's all rubble, but sprouts are coming out of it. The life is coming out of death or out of the rubble. I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
She really goes from, you know, one extreme to the other. She's got it all in there. And she just keeps going back to that day. Today is the precious gift to treasure because there's still hope as long as you're breathing. That things can get better.
Right.
Lovely.
Very cool. Okay, now we have Angels. Do you want to read Angels?
You want me to? I'll read it. I got to get back to the page. Hope I don't mess up again. No, I won't mess up. I got it here. Okay. It's on the board.
It's on the board.
Okay, I got it. I got it. I got it. Sweet November.
Yep.
Is that it? Okay. Sweet November. It was a day I'll always remember. I was sitting on the porch swing, enjoying the fresh air, watching the horses prancing, looking so debonair. It was 70 degrees that Texas day in November. Then out of nowhere you came into view in your pickup truck, faded jeans, and tipped your cowboy hat. My heart melted on the spot, exactly where I sat. That day was just one glance, I fell in love with you. Yes, my angel, I felt the exact same way too, and you were the answer to my every prayer. No one could ever take your place or this love we share, and every day we're together, I'll prove my love is true. Babe, you mean so much to me, you make my heart beat fast. It was a day I'll always remember, too, a day unsurpassed. End poem.
Wow, Angel, that is just so sweet. The technical parts of this poem, the rhyme, the cadence, and flow
sorry,
and stuff are all fine.
I said it was a collab. I left that out. Collab with Easy Rider.
Easy Rider, right. And the chemistry between those two is so amazing. But like I was saying, the technical parts of this poem are so well put together. The imagery makes my heart throb for the love you have. But it's the way she wove this tender poem with soft words and sincere heart that makes it so beautiful. I love the first verse. It was a day I'll always remember. I was sitting on the porch swing enjoying the fresh air, watching the horses prancing, looking so debonair. 'Twas 70 degrees that Texas day in November. What a beautiful way to start a poem. Mm-hmm. But the porch swing and the prancing horses also got it for me, and it gave this a real country feel. You, my dear, get an A+ on this lovely poem. Really nice, Angel and Easy Rider. Great collab. Franny, you want to comment?
Yeah, I want to say that it was a beautiful poem. I enjoyed it, reading it, and I think the collab was perfect. My favorite part was Thank you. Tipping the cowboy hat melted her heart. I think it would have melted mine, too, if somebody in the pickup truck tipped their hat to me like that. That's so cute. You know, I'm from Brooklyn, so right. We never saw anybody tip us a cowboy hat. So, but really, it's very romantic.
But they don't have no cowboys in Brooklyn?
They do, actually. They have some, but they're kind of like out in the boondocks. Nobody sees them. It's not like you would walk down the street and see a cowboy. There's like one little area of them, and it's kind of far. Not in the general population.
Right.
But, yeah, there was a few little cowboys in Brooklyn. Actually going towards Queens, but it's okay. Yeah, I love this poem. I think it's so sweet. And the way they talk back and forth to each other, just very cool.
Carmine. Thank you, Frank.
That kind of sweet November is also sweet tenderness. And one look is all that it took. Truly, it portrays the excellent, painting in her words. For her was a time never to be forgotten. It's a love captivating the senses. And then you can feel it, you can see how she felt. Were at the beginning, or it was really the beginning of forever for her, and love eternal. It was heartfelt, and it had an excellent portraying and touches of imagery. Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider did an excellent job. They are great to work, and I believe they should continue writing like that because, as I said over here, one write is all it takes. Just prove that, you know, you got it.
Right on our mind.
How did they do collabs? Like,
what's
back
that?
And forth? Like, one person writes a part and they send it to the other person? Like, if they're on All Poetry, let's say, and you want to do... Is that how they do it?
The way I did it with David is we both wrote out verses and then... We switched and saw what each other was doing, and then we kind of intertwined them together.
Oh, okay. So it's on the same theme. I mean, you both know the theme, but
I guess
you
there's
don't
a lot of ways to do it. No, but after you guys, like after we wrote our verses, we would read them to each other, and then we'd get an idea what the other one was doing, so you could... You know, do it that way. I'm sure there's lots of ways to go about doing it.
It's very impressive when I read them. You know, they sound like they really go so well together that I just wondered how they did it.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. AP, did you want to comment?
Yeah, I just thought it was really, really great collaboration. Obviously, they're collaborated before, Linda, and when you do collaborate with somebody, you get a feel for their writing. They've both got a lovely feel for each other and what they're going to write and how they're going to write it, and it comes through in the poem.
Cool.
You've done them,
okay.
Maybe he didn't hear me.
Have you done them, AP?
Yes. I did 50-odd, Linda, with various people. And it just depends. I find some writers you work really well with and some you don't. It's not so much just the writing. It's also the how you go about writing it. And you've got to find people who are not just write, you know, in a way that's complimentary to you, but the way they write is complimentary as well.
Yeah, Deb had me and Dave Prophet do a collab, but I forget the title of it, so I can't look it up. I'll have to get Dave to tell me
the title.
The title. Yeah. Yeah, I have them all written down in a book, but it's like many, so it takes time to look through each one. So.
Yeah.
Hey, AP, so are we on still taping?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we are.
I wasn't sure about that.
Yes,
so I think we have Phil's SoundCloud. Yes, we do. There we go. Look at that. You are fast, AP. Come on.
We try, Linda.
And I am, on the other hand, slow. Here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Dancing Around Russia. Place your hand in mine, my Russian princess. Let's dance in the middle of Red Square, wrapped up in a balalaika's caress, oblivious to the strangers who stare. We'll tangle through the streets of Volga.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I didn't get the word.
Is it up?
I'm not getting it. Did you put it on the board?
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called... Yeah. Dancing around Russia.
Oh, I see it. Dancing around Russia.
Place your hand in mine, my Russian princess. Let's dance in the middle of Red Square, wrapped up in a balalaika's caress, oblivious to the strangers who stare. We'll tangle through the streets of Volgograd, Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Astrakhan, foxtrot with a Mongolian nomad to Vladivostok. We'll dance through this land. We'll do a samba through Siberia, just to keep warm in this land of tundra. Dance through the tulips of Kalmykia with a slow and sensualized rumba. Then relax on the shores of the Black Sea. The bright stars are our only canopy. End poem.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, isn't that, I mean, Phil really nails it. This is beautiful, Phil. You've captured the heart of Russia in this lovely poem. And a lot of love and friendship in here. But, I mean, if I know one thing about the Russians is they love to dance and have a good time. And you so captured that. Nice rhyme scheme and such intense, fun imagery. I love the ending, so softly put. You are a master of poetry, Phil. Thank you for sharing with us tonight. You are awesome and really, really fun poem. Franny, what did you think?
Oh, I love the dancing in all the different places in Russia. I know Phil said that he likes to write about Russia, and I'm sure that he's been to all of these places to be able to write so lovingly about them. And he knows exactly which dance would go in which place. I think that's great. And I love the ending. And then relax when he's all finished on the shores of the Black Sea with the bright stars as our only canopy. That sounds beautiful. Lovely poem.
Yeah. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, it's a bit of a geography lesson going on here too, Linda, but Phil knows Russia exceptionally well, and he writes with great joy about Russia, and this is a great example of his writing, Linda.
Yeah, right on. Do we have a... I don't think we have a SoundCloud for her. No.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Who's...
So, did Sol send a poem in for tonight?
what's her all poetry name? Deb?
Laughing Soul.
I don't believe so.
Well, that pesky little person. She was supposed to come to the show tonight.
Believe
okay.
So, no, there's nothing more on the list. Linda?
Yeah, I think we cleared the board. Good job.
Yep.
Oh, Carmine, you didn't comment on Phil's poem yet.
You mean the comment about the Russian dance?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, actually, it was a journey of dance. It was a poem of romance and rhyme and really very rhythmic and grace. He knows his geography, and Phil, and the land and his land filled with history. He knows that. What I liked about was the variance of the tempos of each dance, like the foxtrot, the samba, the tango, the rumbas. They're all very definite, colorful rhythms. However, the samba, tango, and the rumba did not actually, originate from Russia, but from Spain and from South America. So that was incorporated. The point that I'm trying to say is that all the arts are brothers, and none are apart from the others. So it just filled their lives with the tempos that made them dance and sing and enjoy it. I felt that these rhythms added the picturesque aspect of the work, and dancing with a beautiful Russian princess made it very eloquent, and that's very commendable.
Cool. All righty, guys. I want to thank everybody. I should have done this earlier, but Hatter, AP, thank you, AP. You're just a tremendous help. Dave Prophet, Carmine, Francine, Deb, Wayne, Frank, Jenny, Pee-wee, Titus, Phil, Rhonda, and Angel, Heavenly Angel. I want to thank you all for contributing to the show. You are what makes my show happen. So thank you all, and have a lovely, lovely night. And
thank you. Great show, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you, Franny. Thank you for coming. Thanks, AP.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Oh, there it is.
Nah.
Good night.
Good night, Linda.
Good night, Carmine.